I'd like to call your attention to the 53rd number of Isaiah, the 53rd chapter of the book of Isaiah. Today I'd like to speak to you from the thought of why do bad things happen to good people? I've heard that question many times before I even became a minister. I've heard people say, if God was a good God, why do he allow all these bad things to happen to good people? And I would like to look at that through the lens of Isaiah. And we're going to be reading from the 53rd chapter. Before we get started, let me begin with a word of prayer. Father, I stretch my hand to thee. No other help I know. Lord, if you withdraw yourself from me, whithereto shall I go? Lord, I pray that you would be with me and guide my words, guide my thoughts. I pray that you would allow me to preach a message that would lift somebody, that would encourage somebody, Lord, a message that would enlighten someone, Lord. And Lord, I just pray that this message would even help someone to decide that they want to be a Christian. Lord, I just ask that you would be in this message. In Jesus' name, amen. And so I want to talk to you this morning, coming from the book of Isaiah, the 53rd chapter. And also I'm going to include one more verse, and I think I want to read it right now. And it's going to be coming from the book of Zechariah, give me one moment. No, we'll just go back to the 53rd chapter of Isaiah. And I'm going to read Isaiah 53:3. And it reads, "He is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised, and we esteemed him not." Amen. You may be seated. This is from a portion of the Bible known as the Suffering Servant. And if you was to talk to some Jewish rabbis and Jewish scholars, they would say that this portion of scripture talks about the nation of Israel. However, we know that this is a reference to our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And it starts off, the first verse starts off, "Who hath believed our report? And to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? He shall grow up before him as a tender plant, and as a root out of the dry ground. And he hath no form of comeliness, and when we shall see him, there is no beauty that we shall desire him." Amen. Amen. This is a prophecy about the nation of Israel and their coming Messiah. And it talks about a tender plant. And I don't know if any of you are familiar with a farm or have seen a tree cut down to a stub or have seen the ground where it has been prepared and seated and seen a tender root spring up out of all of the dead tree or out of all of the dead things that are there. Jesus, the Lion of Judah, from the tribe of Judah, and when this prophecy is written, the nation of Judah had been cut down to its core. It had been attacked. It had been rampaged. It was nothing left standing. But this is the prophecy that our Savior would come out of the tribe of Judah. And Isaiah says that he shall be as a tender root that comes out of all of this disaster. Judah is not done. There will be a tender root that will shoot up, and they will be witness that life still exists in the tribe of Judah. When Jesus came, he came through 42 generations. And throughout that time, so many things happened through the nation of Israel that it looked like this prophecy was defeated. He was despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. We hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised, and we esteemed him not. Surely he hath bore our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we did not esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. You know, our sermon topic is, why do bad things happen to good people? Now, oftentimes I've heard people ask that question. Now, why does God allow babies to be abused? Why does God allow good people to die? Why does God allow all these bad things to happen to good people? And first of all, you know, I just want to say very quickly that there's a story of the rich young ruler. And the rich young ruler told Jesus, "Good teacher, what must I do?" And Jesus stopped him and said, "There's none good but God." And you know, to understand that, we need to understand good by the definition that Jesus gave, what is good. And you know, in the beginning, when Adam and Eve was in the garden, everything was good. It was good in a sense that we will never know, because the fall had already happened for us, but with them, it had yet to happen. So they walked in the day, in the cool of the day with God. They talked with God. He was readily available. They were in paradise. They had no worries, no cares. It was good. And again, I just want to clarify that it was good in the sense that we don't know good in that sense. Jesus said, "None good but God." And so oftentimes people say, why do bad things happen to good people? Well, I want to tell you that the Bible says that all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. We live in a sinful world. But not only that, our Savior suffered many things while he lived in this earth. He was good, yet he suffered. The life of a Christian has a degree of suffering involved in it. We read earlier in Peter 4 12 that says, why do you look as though some strange thing has happened to you with the trials that had came upon them? He said, why are you surprised? Even Christ himself suffered. So why is it a surprise that as believers that we are always surprised when something, for some calamity or something falls upon us? See, if God had to suffer, then we gonna suffer. It also goes on to say that we suffer with Christ, that we will reign with Christ, that we will be rewarded for our suffering. Say, but rejoice insomuch as ye are partakers of Christ's sufferings, that when his glory shall be revealed, ye may be glad also with exceeding joy. If we be reproached for the name of Christ, happy are ye, for the spirit of the glory of God rests upon you. On their part, he is evil spoken, but on your part, he is glorified. And so, if we are suffering, we should not be surprised, or we should not be cut off guard that if we have suffering in our life, because Christ was a suffering Savior. But we know that if we suffer with Christ, then we will also be raised with Christ. One of the things that we should know about this world, that the prince of this world is Satan. And if you're doing good in this world, you need to take a second look at what's going on with you. And I'm not saying that you can't have things as a Christian, but I'm just telling you if you look at this administration that's in office now, and all the people that have done wrong that have been pardoned, nobody that done good is getting rewarded for anything in this administration, but the people that have done bad is being rewarded daily, because that's what they're about. That's what this world is about. If you are today, I was looking at something, and a singer was talking about how he was invited to be engaged in this like Satan type worship thing, and he was told that he would be successful if he would become a part of this thing, and that's what people are being drawn to today, to be a success. But as a Christian, to be a success, I'm going to tell you there's one thing that's guaranteed. If you suffer with Christ, you will be raised with Christ. We serve a suffering Savior. When Christians talk about doing wrong to the least, when people talk about killing people and doing all these bad things, these wicked things, you could be sure that God is not with them. And you say, well, who are you to judge another man? Well, I can judge a person's works and tell you whether they are godly or not. And I can tell you if they're ungodly. And there's nowhere in the Bible where the oppressor is godly and the oppressor is ungodly. I haven't read any scripture that says that. But he said, those that oppress the poor, what you do unto them, you do unto me also. And it says, surely he hath bore our griefs and carried our sorrows, and yet we did not esteem him stricken, smitten of God and afflicted, but he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. Right. Chastisement of our peace was upon him, and his stripes, and by his stripes we are healed. Right. And so when Jesus went up on that cross and he died on that cross, he was wounded for our transgression. He was bruised for our iniquities. He carried our sins to the cross. He carried our sins to the grave. And he's capable of forgiving us for past sins, present sins, and future sins. And so it's by his stripes we are healed. And so we must not make the mistake of thinking that we have done something that deserves something. That question of why do good people suffer? The Bible says none good but God. Jesus said none good but God. We have to realize that all of us have sinned and fallen short the glory of God. We cannot cry or claim that God is unfair to us. It's a mistake that everybody make, that good people, bad things happen to good people. The Bible says also that that it shall rain on the just as well as the unjust. And so sin, suffering is a part of life. How we suffer is where we have a choice. We could suffer for Christ and rule and reign with Christ, or we could suffer for our own misdeeds and there's only a hell waiting for us. It's better to suffer with Christ. Either way they go, you're going to suffer. But it's better to suffer for Christ. It's better to suffer with Christ and to have a Savior that can keep you out of hell than it is to suffer for temporary pleasure. Right. You know, all that the devil have here to promise us, whether it be through a man in power or a man in all that this world has to offer us is all temporary. Right. And when it's gone, it's gone. You know, oftentimes we will leave something that's permanent, something that's God-given for temporary pleasure, and it's gone like vapors. And we wonder, what happened? Well, it says that when we saw him, there was no beauty that we should desire him. You know, the things of God might not appear to entice us. It might not have the beauty and the glitter of the things of the world. But those things are lasting things, eternal things, like peace, joy, self-restraint. Those kind of things are priceless. But how do we see him? It says that he hath no form or comeliness, and when we shall see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. And so he was despised and rejected by men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. You know, there's a lot of people, I meet people all the time, and a lot of times they know that I'm a minister, and when they'll start talking, we'll start talking religion, and they'll say, yeah, I believe God, I believe this, I believe that. And what they're really saying is, there's some portions of the Bible that I have selected that I like, and there's some other parts that I really don't like. But I take the part that I like. You know, they don't say it like that, but that's really what they're saying. And we have to take God as he is. We don't get to pick and choose. In fact, I've found out that in God, I would have never came to understand the things I understand now if I had just took what I wanted and left the rest. Because it was through following the word, having his spirit dwelling in me, that allowed me to come to see what I now see and what I now know. And so you got to come in through the gate. You can't come in any other way. Verse 6 says, all like sheep we have gone astray. We have turned away one, everyone to his own way. And the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed and afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He is brought as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before his shearers is dumb, so he opened not his mouth. We know where he was brought before Pilate, and Pilate wanted to let him go. And so Pilate questioned him, and as he examined him, they say that he opened not his mouth. And Pilate says to him, I have the power to release you, or I have the power to kill you. And it says that Jesus opened his mouth and said, you have no power over me, but that was given to you by my Father. Right. But the scripture here is talking about Jesus being a sheep before his shearers, like a lamb or a sheep before for the slaughter. And that's what he was when he was on trial. And he opened up not his mouth. I heard a preacher say he didn't open his mouth because if he had called on the angels, they would have came and they would have wiped out everybody. They say he opened up his mouth because he had the power of life and death in his mouth. He had the power to say that you to be dead, you would be dead. And so he restrained himself under these conditions of being beaten and being mocked and being scorned. They said, if you have the power, why don't you save yourself? And while you're at it, save us too. But he didn't do that because it would have been showing off. It was not in the scripture or the plans for him to save himself. It was in the plans for him to die on the cross and to take on the sins of the world. And so even though he had the power to, he didn't. And I like to talk about that, because when I heard the preacher talking about that, I thought about, man, if it hadn't been me, I would have said a lot of stuff. I'd say all my enemies would be gone. I just know me. Okay, I don't know you, but I know me. You know, if I had that kind of power, right, that's a lot of power to keep under control. It says that meekness is not the same thing as weakness. Meekness is power under control. You have the power, but you also have control of it. And so he was taken from prison and from judgment. And who shall declare his generation? For he was cut off out of the land of the living. For the transgression of my people was he stricken. And so Jesus was cut off from the land of the living for the transgressions of his people. And so we have to understand that Jesus had given us life and life more abundantly. You know, when we are given the opportunity for a spiritual life where we are renewed and given a fresh spirit, then we are born again. And we start to live a spirit-controlled life rather than a flesh-controlled life. Zechariah 12 and 10 says, "And I will pour upon the house of David and upon the inhabitants of Jerusalem the spirit of grace and of supplications, and they shall look upon me whom they have pierced, and they shall mourn from him as one mourneth for his only son, and shall be in bitterness for him as one that is in bitterness for his firstborn." When Jesus stood before Pilate, and when he stood before Herod, and when he stood before the council, they didn't realize that they were killing their Messiah. They were killing their king. But it says in Zechariah that they're going to look back one day, and they haven't even looked back to this day. They haven't looked back and came to the realization who Jesus is. If you talk to any Jewish people, they would say that they're waiting on their Messiah, and they denounce Jesus. I've talked to Jewish people that say, well, he was a Jew, just like I'm a Jew, not seeing him the way that we see him. As I told you before, Isaiah 53 and the chapter of Isaiah 53, the suffering servant, if you talk to a Jewish rabbi or Jewish believers, they will say they're talking about the nation of Israel. That's what they believe. And so this is a portion of scripture that's written in retrospect. It's written as if the crucifixion had already happened, but Zechariah was written hundreds of years before Jesus was ever born. And so, but it's written in retrospect, like now, like us looking back at the cross. That's how this verse is written. And actually, he was born, Zechariah was before the cross, but it's written in retrospect. And so we can see that now because we are looking back at the cross. And so the day is going to come when the nation of Israel will look back and know that they have killed their Messiah. Stephen was stoned for telling them, they said, "You killed Jesus." He put the finger at them and charged them with what they had done. And they stoned him to death for preaching the gospel. So Jesus stood up at the right hand of the Father and received him to himself. I just want to say that I know that we all go through our aches and pains, and we all have our sufferings. But not to worry, because suffering is a sign that you are serving the right God. I want to say that. I want to say that loud and clear, because so many people are saying that having material possessions and prosperity, and it's all about having all these good things, and you ain't supposed to get sick and none of those things. But God is with us when we suffer. He says that we will share in his glory if we suffer for him. And the thing that I want to say is, if we suffer for Christ, he's going to always be with us. We suffer for ourselves, we will suffer for ourselves. And he says, and you deserve to. But if we suffer for him, for his name's sake, and we glorify him in our suffering, then we will be with him when he comes back. You know, he came to die for our sins. He came to redeem us. That is to buy back something that already belongs to you. Like you heard of a pawn shop, when somebody pawns something, they go and redeem that item back to themselves. Well, that's what Jesus came to do. He came to redeem that which was lost, that which already belonged to God. You know, he was put on trial. He was dragged from judgment hall to judgment hall. And although Pilate didn't find any fault, they brought him back to Pilate. And they told Pilate that they would tell Caesar that they would charge him with treason because that he had let this person that was against Caesar go. And so Caesar tried him again. Pilate tried him again. And he tried to release him on the day of release. And they said they wanted Barabbas before Jesus. They wanted a murderer rather than Jesus. And so what happened was they took Jesus and put a cross on his back and made him march down this road into the hill called Golgotha, where they hung him between two thieves. And he hung there and until he died. And they pierced him in the side, and the blood came streaming down. They took him down and buried him in a borrowed tomb, and he was there all day Friday, all day Saturday, but early Sunday morning he rose again. He rose with all power in his hand. He rose with power to save you and the power to save me. And because of that, we can say today that whatever we go through, we could go through it knowing that we have a risen Savior. We could go through it knowing that he suffered like we suffered. He understands our suffering. And so with that, I want to just say God bless you. Amen. Amen. Amen.